Have you ever looked at something and two questions come to mind when I read these texts. One is how you can read text time and time again, and it speaks to you in a certain way, and you come back to it, and it says something totally different. Ever have that happen before? Well, that's something that happened to me with this text, but there were some things that also came forward that were familiar, especially when I combine that with that first text that we just read from the widow of Zarephath. And the question that came to my mind when I think about that text was, how many times I've stood at my pantry, opened it up, and said, there isn't a thing in here to eat. What? It's packed full. It just doesn't appeal to me at that time, right? Or it's not something that I want to eat. Or when my girls were little, I'm starving. We've got nothing to eat. What are you talking about? You know, you're a long ways from starving, right? Well, that's kind of one insight that came to me. And then in this Mark chapter, this chapter, the Gospel from Mark, when you put both these two texts together, I thought, well, this is perfect because it's the end of stewardship campaigns all across the country. And here comes the widow's mite text to be used. All right? So we can preach about, and I'm sure it will be across the country, how we all kind of give from our abundance. We're honest with ourselves. We write our gifts and our offerings out for just, you know, what we think we can afford, and we move on, okay, all out of our abundance. Like that pantry full of groceries, there's an abundance of food in there. And we operate out of, and that text Jesus was pointing out, that all the others are giving out of their abundance. But she gave out of her very existence, the last two pennies she had, it kind of says to us, and in they go. A remarkable thing of faith. So we should, the sermon could be basically, we're finishing up a campaign. If you've not made your offering yet, please do so. Think of the widow's mite. Give as much as you can, not so much out of your excess, but realize that you live in an abundant life. Amen. Now you just go sit down, right? Not so easy. Not so quick. Don't be so happy so fast. The other insight that came to me when I read this was a couple of words that, I don't know, I know I've read, but maybe I've looked over. And what it came to was this. Jesus was watching. Jesus was watching what they put into the treasury. He is watching. And the second thing, what was he watching? The money. It says right there. The money is watching what they put in. Now, in this section, an insight that came to me was both that. One, Jesus watches, and two, he watches the money. Cause any of us to squirm in our pews? When that plate comes around that Andy talked about, who's watching? They don't really want others to see what we're giving in. Transparency is a good thing right up until that point, right? I'll turn my offering envelope upside down, and then we can pass it down the road. Go ahead. Jesus is watching. But noting even further, Jesus watched also. Many rich people put large sums in, which is all well and good. Now, here we need to tie this, I think, to the earlier verses in the text where Jesus says, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and give long prayers and expect great seats of honor at banquets and marketplaces. So I wondered, how did they know then and how do we know now who were the rich in the crowd? One would have been probably by the size of their offering. Jesus was watching. But even if they couldn't see it, maybe they were sly enough to put that in without anybody seeing. How did they know who were the rich among them? Yes, Paul. Clothing, yeah. How they were dressed. Most of the time, the more affluent in that society would have had at least clean clothes, maybe newer robes. Nicer things, maybe some jewelry, different things. Let's be honest, the same way we notice now. Now, they didn't drive a car up to the synagogue back then, but they probably came in with more than just themselves. Perhaps Jesus was really watching not only what they put in, but what was in their heart. So I wonder, do we now gaze upon our pew envelopes as they pass, or do we just kind of go forward? Do we announce in our culture, in our society, the giving of big gifts in some way or another? Sure we do. As one who spent 8 years of ministry in doing church resource development, soliciting money for the advancement of the church. In my case, it was to solicit funds to help educate pastors. A good cause. And when somebody made a big gift to the seminary, I can assure you there are bronze plaques all over the seminary. If you go there, you can see it. Given in honor of, for the beloved work of. Right? And that happens around. We lift up those gifts, as perhaps we should, but I also want to share with you that the largest gift I ever received from the seminary came from someone that wasn't on my radar. I didn't see him. I had no idea that this lady would be able to give us $1.2 million like that. Just write the check. Had no idea. She didn't look like it. She didn't sit the bill. Didn't expect places of honor or banquet. She just loved the church. And she was thankful for the pastors that the church have sent her and her congregation. So I wonder, do you think anyone else noticed the widow as she wandered past? You think they noticed those with the best clothes and the long robes? It bids us to ask, who does Jesus see and lift up as the greater example of stewardship and faith? Which leads us to ask of ourselves, who are we looking at in our world as good examples of faithful people or even of leadership, of faith-filled people? Who do we see in our world are the ones who are catching the most attention of our eye? Who are the ones expecting great seats of honor? Literally expecting it, walking around in prestigious garments, clothes and robes of what I like to call self-expected righteousness. I deserve this. I demand this. Who are the ones who strive to bring attention to themselves? And are they the example that Christ points to in our text this day? For that matter, through all of Scripture. So conversely then, we also need to ask, who are we not seeing? Who do we not see? Who are the ones who seem perhaps to offer little or garner such attention and notice in all the crowds of our lives? We just don't see them. Have little worth. And on this Veterans Day, I can't help but also think, just to slide this in here, who are the ones who are giving all of their lives for the betterment of all? Say what you want. I'm not a big war person. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a peace person. But I know the commitment that those young people make. And I also know the commitment of people within our own community who spend their lives doing volunteer work, constantly looking out for the other. They get very little attention. They get very little uplifting. And I also know throughout this church, even though I'm standing here in a long robe, many sisters and brothers in ministry who do the work of the church day in, day out, even on Sundays, committed to building up Christ's kingdom here on earth. So who are the ones we are not noticing? I ask us all to ponder such this day, and as I do so, I ask us to see the ones whom in our world we do not notice. And maybe, just maybe, we can notice them a little, at least in our head and our heart. When we take those steps to give, as Andy pointed out in the children's sermon, something toward those, you're going to get the grocery sacks on the way out, right? One year I went and bought everything on there. I think it cost me $78 at Walmart. It didn't send me to the poorhouse. It could be done. You have to fill the grocery sack? No. But that act of putting something in is a check on my idolatry. It's a check on me when I go up to my pantry and open it up and say, there's nothing in here for me to eat. When I do that, I'm reminded of that grocery sack and the commitment that we make to our community for all those who will come next week to the food bank, to our food pantry, so that they might make a meal for their family. Go. Make your meal and bring something to me to eat, said Elijah, when the widow thought she's going to go eat a little and then die. Reminded of my children when they were little again. I'm gonna just die. I'm starving. No. We have more than enough. We have more than enough. So I simply ask us those two questions again. Who are we looking at? Who do we see? And who does Jesus see? Amen.